Welcome to Forests, Fire and Futures, a new podcast from the School of Forestry at Northern Arizona University. I'm Executive Director Dave Orty. In this podcast series, we're going to share details about our courses, the latest research and technical developments in natural resource stewardship, and the student experience in forestry at NAU.
I'm trying to focus on the actual soundscape within wood.
Science is so fun. Everyone who does science loves it for a reason.
We got to go to a STEM organization for kids and teach kids about monarch butterflies as well as other insects. And I just saw the joy of so many kids, and I saw a younger me in them.
In this episode, we dive into the fascinating world of insect ecology, where tiny creatures play a massive role in forest health and ecosystems. Bugged Out, Unlocking the Secrets of Insect Ecology.
I'm Richard Hofstetter. I'm a professor of forest entomology in the School of Forestry. So I got interested in insects during my undergraduate career. What I realized is that when you study insects, you can almost ask any question that you would with any other organism. Yet it's much easier to work with an insect, and also their development rates and life cycles are so quick that you can complete a research project in a few months. I teach forest pathology. Forest pathology covers diseases of plants. So students learn to identify different diseases, that can be fungal, viral, or bacterial. And they learn the cues to identify, and basically they become detectives. You know, what do you see? How do you determine the cause of why this plant is dying? And what can you do about it? And we focus on the interests of the students themselves. So what is it about insect ecology that they're interested in? Their own research may have some area of insect ecology that they would like to know more about. And some of them don't have any insect ecology or any entomology background. So I try to bring them all up to speed about what is an insect and then really dive into really interesting aspects of insect ecology. Like, how does an insect see? How do they detect their environment? How do they deal with plant defenses? Things like that.
My name is Emmy Vanderplume, and I'm a forestry major with a focus in forest health and restoration. I asked Professor Rich Hofstetter if he would be my mentor for my project because I love the work he does. We are trying to mitigate the spread of the invasive oyster shell scale, the sap-sucking insect that has been ravaging its way through the aspen communities. So I'm trying to use an endophyte, a type of fungi that can live inside of trees, injecting it and spraying these trees with Bavaria bassiana, which is an entomopathogenic fungi. So it like lives in the tree, but if a certain insect were to infect, it would hopefully die. We are trying to see if maybe this could be our cure for the oyster shell scale, because right now we don't really have a fix for it other than cutting these trees down or scraping the OSS off.
My research covers a certain area of forest health. How can we protect trees from insect outbreaks? How can we better understand how certain insects colonize or attack certain trees? And so I focus a lot on insect communication. So how does an insect find a host tree? How do insects communicate together, whether it's chemical, visual, or acoustic? And how can we best promote a healthy forest and still keep insect communities that should be there in a natural way? I'm very interested to improve our abilities to detect insects in wood. And this can be anywhere from detecting termites in homes, as well as an invasive wood borer, like the emerald ash borer that is killing all of the ash trees in North America. By using acoustics, we can better detect this insect within a tree. Right now, we have to wait for a symptom to occur, like a dead branch or the whole tree itself dying. And at that point, it's too late to protect that tree. And if we can detect it within the tree early on, we can protect the tree. We can also remove that insect from the population before it escapes and builds up numbers.
My name is Isabella DeVito. I am doing a forestry degree, and my certificate is in forest health. The Monarch Butterfly Internship, I heard about it because we have these great social events at the School of Forestry. I met Rich, and I was just talking about ants with him, and he offered me the internship as a class to get some undergrad research, and I thought that was really amazing opportunity, so I took it.
I teach a monarch conservation course, and this is really designed to be an internship where students get hands-on training on conservation issues, and we focus on the monarch butterfly to get that experience. What's really interesting with the monarch butterfly in Arizona is that it's one of the few populations of monarchs that goes both to Mexico or to California to overwinter. And we actually don't know the majority or the percentage of butterflies that go to each of these locations. And so we actually monitor them and tag them and release. So last year we had over 250 monarchs that we released and tagged with the hope to understand their migration patterns.
I was part of a couple trials where we fed the caterpillars to see which milkweed species they liked the best. I always say that they're cute, but I don't think they're cute to most people. They are striped, green, black, and white. They kind of look like a glorified grub. They're colorful, and that's because they don't want predators to eat them. Their cocoons are very special. They're very bright green, and they have gold flecks on them. The Monarch Butterfly Internship involves working with the nonprofit Arizona Milkweeds for Monarchs and NAU. I started as a freshman knowing absolutely nothing, and I just learned a lot. There's a greenhouse facility at NAU where we plant all of the milkweeds. We probably plant at least 5,000 a year, if not more. We constantly check in on the plants, and a lot of the plants that aren't used as experiments, we sell at plant sales.
It's really fascinating to think about the wood soundscape. If you plug into a healthy tree, you can actually hear water movement, daily cycles of water. You can actually hear the effects of drought as the water pulls out of the tree through the leaves. If water doesn't replace the water that was there, you get cavitation. And cavitation is basically the vacuuming pull out of a cell. So as the water is pulled through the needles, water is not replaced from the ground into the tree. And so what you end up getting is a popping sound. You can hear that if you have the right equipment. It's an immediate. I'm very interested in the ecology that's occurring within a tree going from a living state all the way through the decay process. So how do the organisms sound within that whole process of when a tree dies? And can we learn what community is there based on that soundscape? I've worked a lot on pine-infesting bark beetles and understanding how they communicate. What we find is that when they're inside the tree, it's full of sap and it's completely dark. And the only way they can communicate is acoustically. And this is a world which we've had very little knowledge of. And so we've been able to use acoustic tools, recording devices, to see how they're communicating in the tree. And what we find is that they have a language, and they can detect male or female, they can detect individuals and different species. The they will communicate together if they want to mate or if they bump into each other. They need to know that that is a partner or not. What we find is that this acoustic communication is closely tied to chemical communication. Right now, we have wonderful tools for chemical control of insects, but now we can use acoustics to interfere with that communication.
Doing undergrad research has been a crazy experience. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It's been really hard sometimes, but my professors and coworkers, I know they're always going to support me and help me in any way that I need them to. But I go in the field quite often. Luckily, a lot of the public in Flagstaff, they're very interested in science. Everyone that I have met in Flagstaff that has oyster shell scale is like, come treat my trees. Please, I would love to be part of your research. And that has been really great to meet like locals and just have that support from my community, I guess.
Acoustic tools are obviously, there's no chemicals involved, and they're very species specific to that insect and also very localized, although you can use it in a very broadcast manner, but what we're using it is on an individual tree, and that sound is limited to that tree. And so there's very little sound pollution in this method, and also, of course, there's no environmental impacts except for directly on that tree. We have a funding to produce handheld devices to be used to understand the insect community within wood. And so this can be used by land managers, foresters, even individual citizens to use this device, place it on your tree, and let you know if there's something there threatening that tree. And eventually it will tell you what that insect is if it's detected.
I think one of the main things that you learn that is very helpful is how to collect data and how to use that data to prove something. Even if it's not necessarily an answer that you wanted, you can still learn something.
I think it's been really good to get experience in this lab doing different stuff than what I normally do.
It's just given me a lot of opportunities. And the plant sales are a very enriching experience. I think that's what I enjoy the most, is reaching out to the public and teaching them the things that I've been taught.
I want to make a difference, and it feels good working towards something that could hopefully make a difference.
Student undergraduate research, I think, is one of the most important things for an undergraduate student. A lot of the students who do this undergraduate research find a new joy in their life, something that they'd never envisioned that they would do.